7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Howdy, Croc Nation. Dr. Tommy Anelli here with another amazing Croc podcast for the most amazing cancer survivors / thrivers in the world. Angel Santana, have faith, let it begin on the other side of the computer glass. Angel, it's been a week.
It has been a crazy week, but a good week, because today is an awesome Sunday and nothing can beat the Croc podcast. It's 9 a.m.
I'm hoping that all of our survivors had a great Mother's Day for all that, if you are a mother or if you have a mother or if you don't have a mother, doesn't matter. It's still Mother's Day. So we wish you the best. Today, we're going to do an interesting change of pace, Angel. We're going to go into a time capsule or a time machine or a DeLorean, and we're going to set the time for 1884. And we're going to kind of look back at the way medicine was in those days, take a look at where medicine is today, and kind of change perspective as our survivors look at their journey and try to put it in a different light that maybe will make them happy and smile and very hopeful. So I'm going to start the episode with a story that I've told before on this podcast. It's really a riddle or a question or however you want to call it, a puzzle. A woman, age 63, walks into Garnet Medical Center to have a lumpectomy for stage 1 breast cancer. At the same time, exactly the same in the same dimension, at the same time, in the same space-time continuum, a 63-year-old man walks into the emergency room at Garnet Medical Center with chest pain. The woman goes on to have successful surgery, does great, gets discharged from the hospital. The gentleman ends up having a cardiac event. They do an angiogram. They find a blockage. They put a stent in, and they both get discharged from the hospital exactly the same time. The question to the riddle is, who is going from the parking lot at Garnet Medical Center to the funeral home to buy a plot and prepare for their death? And who is going to McDonald's for 2 quarter pounders with cheese and a large fry and a large Coca-Cola? Angel?
They're both going.
Wrong answer, Angel, but that's okay. So we all know that cancer survivors, you know, are very, very understandably upset and fearful of their diagnosis, thinking they're going to die, which is completely appropriate. We have to change that culture, and we're trying to change that here on the podcast and give you guys that information to allow you to do that. But the fact of the matter is that statistically speaking, the gentleman with the stent has a much higher chance of dying before the woman with the stage 1 breast cancer. So that's kind of what your answer actually was a really good answer, even though it was the wrong answer, in trying to help us navigate, of course, to try to change that cultural perspective. So I don't know if any of our survivor thrivers are Harry Potter fans, but we use a lot of Harry Potter analogies. And of course, the villain in the Harry Potter series is a dark wizard by the name of Tom Riddle, who goes by the name of Voldemort, but you can't say that word Voldemort. It's the name that can never be mentioned. And I feel that cancer has that Voldemort syndrome. You know, it's the word that we can't utter. So we already know about the story of the stage 1 breast cancer and the man with the heart disease. And we talked about the Voldemort phenomenon. And then to further complicate, you know, a survivor's mindset is up until recently, I want to say the last 5 years or so, the number one killer of Americans was heart disease or cardiovascular disease, stroke, you know, heart disease, that type of thing. And cancer has overtaken that, which further freaks everybody out. But I do have really good news for you. We are going to look at today's episode as sort of the name of the episode is Cheating Death, the New Golden Age of medical miracles. And we're going to talk a little bit about cancer in the old days, and we're going to end medicine in the old days and medicine now, looking at both cardiovascular disease and heart disease. And hopefully we'll be able to wrap it all up with a beautiful pink survivor ribbon. Since we've used the breast cancer survivor as an example, we'll use a pink ribbon today. So let's, without any further ado, let's talk about the law of flawed logic. So there's a false sense of security when somebody sees that a lightning strikes a tree. They feel that they can go stand by that tree because lightning doesn't strike twice, but that's actually not true. And I think cancer survivors get into this mindset as well, this flawed thought that if you have cancer, nothing else medically can happen to you. And there's nothing further from the truth. And we're going to attack cardiovascular disease and other illnesses and how our cancer survivors can not only attack their cancer and take care of that problem, but also prevent some of the other chronic illnesses that we're trying to compare and contrast cancer to today on today's episode. So before we go forward, let's go backwards and talk about the year 1884. So Angel, in the year 1884, almost three quarters of America's 50 million people lived on farms or in very rural hamlets. When they got sick, they were treated usually in their own homes by someone they knew, someone who might not be a trained physician at all, but just a family member, maybe a neighbor, maybe a midwife. Only a handful of smaller communities boasted, that they had any sort of, have any sort of formalized medical care or hospitals. That was a big city phenomenon. And in those cities, not many people really actually were even allowed admission to these hospitals. Hospitals were more of a place to go to die than a place to be treated. And many times patients would go to a dispensary and have, whether it be a trained pharmacist or not, try to come up with some sorts of homemade remedies to try to help their ailments. So that's kind of the environment we were in 1884. Now, what were some of the diseases that would affect people in 1884? A lot of the same things we have today, but some of the things that were different. So they would have bronchitis and kidney and circulatory issues, but they also suffered from malaria, syphilis, smallpox, and the number one killer, of course, Angel, was tuberculosis. For young children?
Question. Yeah. Measles too, right?
All the communicable diseases, of course. And for sure, I was just going to get the children would have been, the childhood diseases. And, of course, diarrhea, because, kids were incredibly susceptible, to dying from things that we ordinarily can save our kids from these days. In addition, we had the great epidemic. We had the influenza, epidemic in which, I want to say 21 million people in the world passed away, 675,000 in the United States. And we are no longer, virgins to epidemics after the COVID epidemic, in which 6,877,660 people died in the world, and in the United States, 1,164,019 people succumbed to COVID. So again, the more things change, the more things stay the same. Life expectancy, Angel, give me a guess as far as life expectancy in 1884.
I'm going to say, because I watched, even though it was not that time frame, but I watched Little House on the Prairie, and I remember them saying it was around over 40, like I would say about 40, 45.
Angel, you made up for your guffaw. You hit it straight on the head. You did great. You made up for your previous answer.
Yes.
So the answer is 40 years for white males, 44.8 for white females. But sadly, people of color, of course, health disparities, again, the more things change, the more they stay the same. 25 years for a man of color and 32 years for a female of color. So extraordinarily grim statistics. And the news is, however, that now we are in 2024 and things have changed incredibly. So looking at a JAMA study, the Journal of the American Medical Association, mortality trends in general, and this is the take-home message to our cancer survivors, do not get freaked out because cancer is the number one killer, whatever. There's an explanation, and I want to give it to you. So the explanation is that the mortality trends in the United States between 1969 and 2013 for the six leading causes of death. So that would be heart disease, cancer, stroke, unintentional injuries, diabetes, have dropped 43%. So that's incredible. So from 1,279 deaths per 100,000 to 730 deaths per 100,000. Early deaths, defined as potential loss of life before 75, dropped by 52% with the largest declines in stroke and heart disease. And that's really important when it comes down to statistics, because I don't want our survivors to think that cancer is being ignored or is on the rise. It's actually the opposite. So the conclusion is that progress is being made in the reduction of death rates from all causes of these illnesses. And the biggest death rate, as we said, was in stroke, which showed a 77% drop. Heart disease, 67% reduction, and cancer deaths, 18%. So even though cancer deaths were less, it doesn't mean that we're not going in the right direction. So that's important for you guys to realize. So cancer deaths dropped 18% from 199 deaths per 100,000 people in 1969 to just about 163. So just to let you guys know, it's the advances in our understanding of the causes, prevention, early detection, and treatment of these diseases, especially in heart disease, which we're going to kind of compare and contrast today. So again, flipping back and forth between 1884 and 2024, let's look at some of the things that we're talking about in prevention. So on cardiovascular disease, people are definitely starting to look at ways to change their lifestyle. They're looking at stopping to smoke, which remains the number one health concern and the number one health disadvantage for anything. Forget about cancer, lung cancer, head and neck cancer, more so cardiovascular disease, stroke, heart attacks, and that type of thing. Also reducing their alcohol intake, trying to keep their weight under control, doing some working out. So as far as cardiovascular disease, that's the prevention side. So there's a lot more access to these types of things today than there was in 1884. In addition, if you think about it, you have the ultrasounds of the neck, right? The Dopplers to see if there's any blockages in the carotid arteries. You have the calcium cardiac CAT scans, where it takes about 7 seconds. You lay on the table. They do a quick CAT scan just to see if there's any calcium deposits in your coronary artery disease. And then on the cancer side, all the things we talked about with, you know, good healthy behaviors, which we're going to get back to, but also all of the different sort of, surveillance protocols, the skin cancer clinics to make sure you catch any moles that might be a melanoma. There's labs like cancer markers, PSA for men with prostate cancer, CA-125 for women with ovarian cancer, CEA for colorectal cancer. There's mammograms, there's colonoscopies, there's PET scans, there's chest x-rays. So there's all of these things that are in the sort of early detection, which again is dropping those numbers like a rock, right, on both sides, cardiovascular disease and cancer. As far as looking at interventions in cardiovascular disease, just as in cancer, there's better technologies and better interventions. He mentioned the gentleman in the beginning with the story who went in for a stroke. There's minimally invasive things that would require open heart surgery now are sometimes being done right transarterially. Valves are being replaced laparoscopically. It's just a whole different world out there. And in 1884, there were no medications for heart disease. There were no medications for hypercholesterolemia. There was no medications for blood sugar. So all of these patients, now you can kind of see, Angel, why those numbers are dropping so precipitously. And don't think cancer is not part of this equation. That's why we're here for cancer survivors. Our surgeries are better. Our radiation is better. But the thing that we're going to be concentrating on in the future with the podcast is that the direction of cancer care is getting to be molecular. It's individualized. It's targeted. So we are modulating our immune system by these new medications. We are changing the whole spectrum of the way cancer is even perceived. And there are patients that were 20 years ago when I'm, you know, still like going toward the middle of my career, you know, are unheard of changes, unheard of cures, unheard of responses that we never saw before. So the Croc podcast will stay right on the vanguard of all of these molecular modulated individual targeted therapies to help our survivors through. But that's one of the reasons why cancer reduction in mortality is also striking. Now, don't forget, don't compare cancer to cardiovascular disease. They're apples and oranges. And what I want to do is really hone in on one last point, and that's the saddest reality, that in 1884, the patients, the cancer survivors back in those days, they didn't even have a sniff of what we know today, right? So you would think that with the knowledge that we've just shared with you guys today, you would think that we should all be patting ourselves on the back. We should be saying, hey, look how much more years of life we are getting. And I say the opposite. I say, shouldn't we be saying shame on us for not living even longer, happier, healthier, and more satisfied lives than we are? Because let's do a double dip, right? Let's look at cancer, not just as a diagnosis and a disease and a survivorship. Let's look at our health in general, our global health. And this goes back to the flawed logic of thinking that lightning can't strike twice. If you're a cancer survivor, just say of lung cancer or head and neck cancer, then you've probably smoked. If you have an obesity-related cancer, then some of your health choices and lifestyle choices probably haven't been pristine. So many of our cancer patients, the majority, are in the elderly range. So anybody over 50. And what happens after you hit 50? You start getting a lot of these chronic illnesses. So you can have cancer and coexist and have what we call the fancy word comorbidities with everything else, heart disease. Quite a few patients who walk into the office after they've had a stroke, then they would noted to be having cancer just serendipitously during their workup. So what I suggest, and what the whole point of today's podcast is to uplift our survivors, to let them know that cancer deaths are reducing, that cancer morbidity and mortality is reducing very nicely. The second thing that I want them to know is I want them to be inspired that I almost feel as if we're teammates with the other diseases. So even though we're not exactly the same as heart disease and stroke and diabetes and all those types of things, you know, these are all things that we should have a kindred with patients who have these things, even if they don't have cancer. And we should realize that our survivors need to really protect themselves if they have these diseases to try to mitigate the severity and try to reverse some of the damage that has been done from these chronic diseases, and to look at all of the things that we have today that we did not have in 1884. For instance, look out on the mental side. We have mindfulness. We're trying to be less reactive. We're trying to be kinder, smarter people. You know, in 1884, they were just trying to survive the day. They were just trying to get through the day and have a meal on their table or be able to, you know, feed their children. On the physical side, we have to worry about our weight, right? We have to look at our diet. We have to become athletes. We have to break those bad habits. We have to break our habits of overdrinking and oversmoking or even smoking at all. And we have to look at strategies. Not just on this podcast, I'd like to think that Angel and I really focus on trying to give you those tools, but whatever you can get your hands on, whatever podcasts, whatever YouTube, whatever books, whatever lectures, whatever, classes at the YMCA or whatever that you can see to try to make yourself healthier. So we have a situation here, everybody. We have an opportunity. We have an opportunity to be grateful that we live in 2024 and not 1884. We have an opportunity to recognize that cancer is not a death sentence. It is a disease like any other disease, cardiovascular disease, stroke, diabetes. It is a chronic disease. It's one that requires specialized care, but it doesn't have to be the disease that causes your death. And then there's the personal responsibility that you have to yourself with this knowledge, the knowledge that we have that our forebears did not have. And it's our job then to minimize any potential damage from the other illnesses that we mentioned with the strategies we mentioned, and make ourselves healthier humans to help make our survivorship more viable. Angel Santana, what's your thoughts?
You know, I'm sitting here and just based on everything we're talked about, and then kind of taking that whole scenario of taking the DeLorean back in time. You know, I remember a quote that was once said, you can't go back in time and start over again, but you can still aim for a new ending starting from now.
Well said.
And I think that, you know, one thing that we talked about is we go back in time, we relive all the things that had happened. And unfortunately, even if you go in the past or in the present, yes, there's going to be negativity, but we're having more positive results than we were then. So let's move on to now.
Well said, my friend. Angel, it's always a pleasure to share space with you and to help our amazing survivors. Everybody, another podcast that can help you in this journey. Have Faith, Let It Begin. It's Angel's daily podcast for the commuter. Inspirational, uplifting, spiritual. I really would recommend that as your homework to help you in your survivorship. Rod Freeman, I kind of forgot you last week, but let me put you at number two today. Now batting number two, number 31. Rod Freeman, small biz up. Rod, thanks for everything you do for us and for all of the people that you help with your little side gig there, trying to help them get their businesses up, websites, business advice, and things like that. You're instrumental to our survivors. To the board of directors for all of their help. It's been 2 weeks, Angel, and I'm still full from the board meeting. It was a wonderful time to be able to sit down with such great individuals who really sacrifice a lot of their free time, which they do not have much of, in order to help our survivors get through their survivorship. Michael John Benzea, I talked to Mikey last week by text. He's doing great. His career is soaring. I asked him to take a listen to some of our podcasts, give us some notes. Mikey, thanks for everything. Charlotte Larson, thanks for your support and belief in us. And of course, I want to take a minute and talk to you guys and give you your weekly pep talk. So today we talked about something which I hope will inspire you. You read in the U.S. World Report, you read in Time Magazine, People Magazine, you look on your morning, Good Morning America, and you say, cancer has surpassed heart disease as the leading cause of death in Americans. Well, they're not telling you everything. They're kind of trying to scare you. It's like scare tactics and fear sell news. So let me change the narrative. Yes, cancer deaths might be the most, numerous cause of death in America. But guess what? They're going down. Everything's going down because medicine is getting better. Medicine may be getting quicker with cardiovascular disease and stroke and things like that for the reasons we mentioned, but that doesn't mean that we're not working hard to try to even continue to reduce cancer deaths and cancer morbidity more and more and more every day with some amazingly dedicated and devoted researchers and scientists who are out there trying to get you cured of your disease. And when I say cure, I mean cure. I'm not just throwing it out there, because you guys are deserving of a cure. You guys are worthy. You guys are amazing. You are strong. You are brave. You are courageous. You guys are loved. You guys are appreciated. You guys are strong. You guys got this. And on behalf of Angel and Rod and the whole board of directors and the entire CROC organization, we end this podcast as we end every podcast, by wishing you all a long, healthy, happy, and cancer-free life. God bless you. God be with you. Peace.